I see Lady Faber trapped you into dancing with her son, Percival, Simon says, while twirling me gently in the waltz. His gloved hand rests softly at my back, guiding me easily round the floor. He is a most careful dancer, I say, trying to be polite. Simon grins.
Is that what you call it? I suppose it is a skill to be able to dance the polka and talk incessantly at the same time.
I can't help smiling at this.
Look there,
Simon says.
Miss Weston and Mr. Sharp.
He indicates a dour-looking young woman sitting alone in her chair, dance card in hand. She throws quick glances toward a tall man with dark hair. He's chatting with another young woman and her governess, his back to Miss Weston.
It is common knowledge that Miss Weston fancies Mr. Sharp. It is also common knowledge that Mr. Sharp doesn't know Miss Weston is alive. See how she longs for him to ask her for a dance? I'll wager she's kept her dance card free on the chance he'll ask.
Mr. Sharp walks in Miss Weston's direction. Look, I say, perhaps he's going to ask her. Miss Weston sits tall, a hopeful smile on her needle slim face. Mr. Sharp passes her by, and she makes a show of looking off into the distance as if she is not bothered in the slightest by his rejection. It is all so cruel.
Ah, perhaps not,
Simon says. He offers quiet commentary on the couples around us.
Mr. Kingsley is after the Widow Marsh's sizable trust. Miss Byrne is much larger than she was during the season in May. She eats like a bird in public, but I hear that in private she can eat up the larder in the blink of an eye. Sir Braxton is said to be carrying on an affair with his governess. And there is the case of our host and hostess, the Worthingtons.
What do you mean?
They are barely civil with each other. See how she avoids him.
Felicity's mother moves from guest to guest, giving them her attention, but she doesn't so much as look at her husband. She is the hostess, I say, feeling the need to defend her.
Everyone knows that she lived in Paris with her lover, a French artist, and the young Miss Worthington is bearing too much skin this evening. It's already being gossiped about. She'll probably have to marry some brash American. Pity. Her father was knighted by the Queen, given the Knight Commander of the Order of the Bath for his distinguished naval career. And now he has even taken on a young ward, the orphaned daughter of a distant cousin. He's a good man, but his daughter is becoming a stain on his fine reputation.
What Simon says about Felicity is true, yet I don't like hearing him talk about my friend this way. It is a side of Simon I've not seen. She is simply high-spirited, I protest.
I've made you angry,
Simon says. No, you haven't, I lie, though I don't know why I pretend I'm not angry.
Yes, I have. It was most ungentlemanly of me. If you were a man, I'd allow you a pistol to defend her honour,
he says, with that devilish half-smile of his. If I were a man, I should take it, I say, but I would be sure to miss. Simon laughs at this.
Miss Doyle, London is a far more interesting place with you in it.
The dance ends, and Simon escorts me from the floor, promising to ask for another when my card allows it. Anne and Felicity rush to my side, insisting I accompany them to the other room for lemonade. With Mrs. Bowles in tow, we pass through the rooms, arms linked, gossiping quickly and quietly. And then she said I was far too young to wear my dress so low, and she might very well not have had me come at all if she knew I was to shame her in such a public fashion, and the blue silk dress is ruined, Felicity babbles. She isn't angry with me, is she? Anne asks, her face a picture of worry. You did tell her I tried to stop you.
You needn't worry so. Your reputation is intact. Besides, Father came to my defence and Mother backed down at once. She'd never stand up to him.
The ballroom opens onto the room that has been set aside for refreshments. We sip our lemonade, which feels cool. Despite the winter chill, we are warm with dancing and excitement. Anne's looking anxiously toward the ballroom. When the music starts again, she jumps for her dance card. Is that the quadrille? No, I say. Sounds like another waltz. Oh, thank heaven. Tom has asked me to dance the quadrille. I wouldn't want to miss it. Felicity is momentarily stunned.
Tom?
Anne's beaming. Yes, He said he wanted to hear all about my uncle and how I came to be a lady. Oh, Gemma, do you think he likes me? What have we done? What will happen when the ruse is discovered? I've an uneasy feeling about it. Do you truly like him? Very much. He is so respectable. I choke on the pulp in my lemonade.
How are you faring with Mr. Middleton? Felicity asks.
He is a most accomplished dancer, I say. I'm torturing them, of course. Felicity swats me playfully with her dance card.
That is all you have to say. He is a very accomplished dancer.
Do tell, Anne presses. Mrs. Bowles has caught up to us. Now she hovers near, hoping for a bit of conversation, a bite of scandal. Oh dear, I've a rip in my gown, I say. Anne angles her body to look at my skirt. Where? I don't see one. Felicity catches on.
Oh, yes. We must get you to the cloakroom at once. One of the maids can mend it. Don't mind us, Mrs. Bowles.
Before our chaperone can say a word, Felicity spirits us away down a flight of stairs till we're in a small conservatory.
Well?
He is very lovely. It's as if I've known him all my life, I say.
He doesn't care much for me, Felicity says.
Does she know what he said to me about her? I blush, thinking of how I could have come more to her defence. Why do you say that?
He meant to court me. I refused him last year, and he's never forgiven me.
I feel as if I've been kicked hard. I thought you had no interest in Simon.
Yes, exactly. I've no feelings for him. You didn't ask if he cared for me.
My good feelings have fallen to the bottom of my stomach, like confetti littering a dance floor. Has Simon been paying attention to me all this time as a way to goad Felicity? Or does he really care for me? I think we should return to the ball, I say, heading for the first floor, walking faster than is necessary, just enough to leave a gulf between Felicity and me. I don't feel like joining the happy crowd just yet. I need a moment to gather myself. At the far side of the room lies a pair of French doors that lead to a small balcony. I slip outside, gazing out at the wide expanse of Hyde Park. In the bare trees, I see Felicity, tempting in her low-cut gown, and me, the tall, gangly creature playing dress-up, the girl who is haunted by visions. Felicity and Simon. They could live an uncomplicated life together. They would be pretty and fashionable and well-travelled. Would she understand his witty jokes? Would he even make them with her? Perhaps she would make his life a horror. Perhaps. The cold air is a help to me. With each bracing breath, my head clears a bit more. Soon, I find I am recovered enough to be chilled. Below, the coach and footman have gathered about a coffee stall. They cuddle cups of the hot drink in their hands while pacing back and forth in the snow, trying to keep warm. These balls must be a misery to them. For a moment, I think I see Kartik, but then I remember that he is gone.